That's right. We are in lesson number 19 in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be in chapters 26 and 27 today. Now, folks, we're going to go extremely fast through today's lesson. Today's lesson begins with Vision 5. It's the first part of Vision 5. And the first part of this lesson, the first two chapters, is a lot of information that we really do not need to stop and spend too much time on. There's a few things I'm going to stop and spend a little extra time on, maybe even a little extra right off the bat. The first thing right off the bat, we're going to spend a little extra time on a passage that I probably need to spend less time on, but I've got a point I want to make to all of you because of the translations or versions of the Bible that you may choose to use. And I just want to show you a real sticking point that you might want, if you see something like I'm going to point out today in the lesson in your Bible, you may want to change versions to a version that has actually translated a little better, a little more correctly. And then we're going to enter. You see this board. I've got this map up here that's just got names all over it. And each one of these names, the Lord's going to talk about something that each one of these places did for the city of Tyre. We're going to move through this pretty quickly. And the next week, through chapter 28, we're going to move slowly. Well, as we look here, as we begin in chapter 26 of Vision 5, now, in the 11th year, on the first of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what year? 11th year, on what day? Of what? What month? What month? We do not know. It is the month. Now, when you're looking at your Bible, this is one of these passages that if your Bible says something else, I would just pretty much advise you to go get a different version of the Bible to read out. Because the other versions that do not say that do not match the Scripture. And I'm not going to stick real close to the notes because I want to get through this lesson pretty quick. But you've got lots of material in your notes that tell you lots of the background. Even to the fact of when we get to the original Hebrew, in all the Hebrew manuscripts that we have available to us, it basically says something like this: in the 1/10th year. Well, 1 in 10 equals 11. On the first of the month. We don't have any Hebrew manuscripts that say anything else. But I want to show you two other versions that you need to be aware of. These are two Bibles that I would suggest because of the multiple hiccups in these versions that are just like this one. I would suggest that you do not use these two versions. One is called the New Living Translation. Now, here's what the New Living Translation says. It says, on February 3, where did that come from? Got it? During the 12th year, what year was the other verse in? The 11th. During the 12th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, this message came to me from the Lord. We got some issues with that. You see the difference? All right, the Berean Study Bible. In the 11th month, did you catch that? Of the 12th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, I'm telling you folks, there is absolutely no Hebrew manuscripts that tell us or add into the Scripture anything about Jehoiachin's captivity, about a 12th year, or about 11th month. Absolutely not. Lord has come to Ezekiel and he says, son of man, which is his word for Ezekiel, because Tyre said concerning Jerusalem, aha, the gateway of the people is broken. It has opened to me, and I shall be filled now that she is laid waste. Okay, now here's what we're going to do, folks. I think what I want to do in today's lesson, for you. This is not what I did in the 8 o'clock, but I think it will just help if I go ahead and tell you the story of where we're headed through this chapter, and then we'll read it and think you'll catch it. So here's what's happening. Jerusalem, which is right there on this map, Jerusalem is being attacked by Nebuchadnezzar. They have been surrounded for 3 years. It is probably in the month before Jerusalem is going to actually be, the wall's going to be breached. In your commentary, I gave different scenarios. What I believe is we're a month out from Jerusalem's walls falling. Jerusalem has not had any goods coming or going from the city of Jerusalem for 3 years. Nebuchadnezzar has set himself outside those gates, and nothing is coming and going. They are starving inside. They've used everything up. Oh, they've got jewels, they've got gems, they've got gold, they've got silver, but they haven't got anybody to sell to them, and they've got no way to get it in past Nebuchadnezzar's army. And so with that, Tyre is up here, and Tyre is saying, aha, now that you're in trouble, we will be able to do good, which is exactly what this scripture is saying. Now that you've been laid waste, we're going to get to be filled up. Because what has happened is Tyre forever, almost, not forever, but has been the seaport storehouse and warehouse of the Great Sea or the Mediterranean Sea. You only sell the Mediterranean Sea during certain months. From truly the end of February, the 1st of March, until the end of September. You really don't sail any of the Mediterranean back in these days from October to February because it was just too dangerous. Along this seacoast here, especially right in here, there are so many rocks and underwater problems that a seagoing vessel during the storm times, they could not control the vessel well enough to keep it off the rocks. And by this time in the story, they're surely not going this way because there's too many ships underneath the water and they know where they are. And a good sailor knows how to sail around them, especially a sailor who knows the seas. And by the way, we're going to find out in the scripture as we get into the next chapter here in a few minutes that the pilots of the ships that went all over this Mediterranean Sea were men from Tyre who were the pilots. They were the pilots and they knew the waters. And so all the way from over here on Spain, the little port called Tarsus, the ships would run at all the ports all the way to Tyre, picking up goods to be sold, to be transferred to Tyre and to be stored in Tyre, and picking up orders to come back toward Tarsus. So the ships on the north side of the Mediterranean Sea just went back and forth on the north side. And from Tyre, the ships from the south side would come down this way and go back up and down and back up for safety. So no ship was coming up and going. And Paul ends up on a ship and they're out of season. They're actually at the end of October, if you remember. They should not be on the waters. And so they are coming across here and they know it's late. Scripture even tells us it's late. And that ship, a big old huge storm comes out of between Greece and, between Greece and Asia Minor. And it's a hurricane. I mean, it's a whirlwind storm, hurricanes, what it is. And it comes out and it blows that ship and they come down here and they try to get to Fair Havens, to a safe port. They don't make it. They try to go to the other side. They don't make it. Finally, the ship gets blown. They're trying to control their ship. Finally, they end up getting into the harbor and shipwrecking on Malta, which is right here. You can't control these ships in the storms. So they did not sail out of seasons. Okay. So Tyre has become the trade center, and it is a wealthy trade center. I mean, goods from all over the world end up in Tyre, and from there, they're traded on out. And every time there is a trade, money transfers hands. And every time money transfers hands, Tyre gets a little piece of that money, the city of Tyre. Tyre is an opulent town. It is unbelievably perfect in every way. It is the town of towns. No money is spared, any expense, because Tyre has it. For centuries, day after day after day after day after day, Tyre has been the warehouse of the world for centuries, until the days of Solomon. When Solomon shows up to be king, Solomon then basically takes over the trade war. And if you remember what I've said before in the past, we have these trade routes on this side of the Mediterranean coming up from Babylon, everything. There's a trade route that went up and came down on the east side of the Jordan River on down into Saudi Arabia. By the way, there's a trade route that went this way too, but then you still had to go across desert, so they'd rather go this way. There's a trade route that went up here and went down right through the middle of Israel, right through Jerusalem, and then over to Egypt. And there's one that went over close to Tyre and came down. During the days of Solomon, Solomon made arrangements with these countries in agreements to do trade and to have peace and do trade. And the covenant, the gift that was given to Solomon in honor of this covenant with him was a bride for Solomon, if you remember. So over 700 women married or entered into a relationship with Solomon from all these other countries of the world, and the trade shifted to Jerusalem as the center of trade in the world. Jerusalem was the center of trade by caravan. Tyre was the center of trade by ship. But stuff would go into Tyre and make its way down. But all these countries over here are no longer shipping everything to Tyre. Now they're shipping some product to Tyre and some product to Jerusalem. Tyre is no longer the big boy on the block, that everything goes through Tyre. So after Solomon is gone and the nation of Israel divides, now Jerusalem and Tyre are constantly vying for who is number one in the warehouse business. Who is number one in the marketing business? Who's number one? And it goes back and forth. But now, Jerusalem is fixing to be gone. And when it's gone, Tyre comes along and says, aha, yay, we're back on top. We are number one. And they have every reason to think that, because Nebuchadnezzar has come right by them already, has already been down to Egypt. He's over here at Jerusalem. Then he's got to go over here and he's got to handle Edom. He's got to handle Moab. He's got to handle Ammonites before he goes to Tyre. And we're 5 years away. Tyre is sitting here going, yoo-hoo, we're out of the way. Nebuchadnezzar's not going to bother us. Yeah, right. Nebuchadnezzar is. And Tyre is a city that had two parts to the city. On the mainland was called the Old City of Tyre. On the island, about a half a mile away, was the New City of Tyre. By this time in the story with Ezekiel, during the time of the Northern Kingdom, Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, had already gone and attacked Tyre and tried to take New Tyre out on that rock out in the water. But because truly the city is built up on a rock, there was no way that in those times that the armies could get in and get up and take the city. Not any way whatsoever. But they did do damage to the old city, but it rebuilt. So you have New Tyre and Old Tyre. By the way, Old Tyre has a seaport. Has a harbor. And in the wintertime, all the ships that were over on this part of the Mediterranean wintered in that harbor. The scripture actually will say the entrance of the harbor, but that entrance word is plural because Tyre actually had two entrances. There was almost an in and an out, but actually they came in and out both sides. And then once they got into the harbor, it was safe water, it was calm, and it was perfect for loading and unloading ships in calm water, and virtually calm all the time. So Shalmaneser tries to run over Old Tyre and does a pretty good job, but doesn't destroy it. But he can't take New Tyre. Nebuchadnezzar, after this passage, and this passage is going to deal with this, is going to go and he is going to roll right over Old Tyre. And then he is going to attack. This is not in the scripture here, but it comes later, and not in today's lesson. Nebuchadnezzar will attack New Tyre for 13 years and not be able to take it. He still will not take it. But what he does when he rolls over old tire, he literally takes all the buildings and all the columns and all the blocks and all everything, the goods and everything that they don't want to take for spoils, and he pushes them into the sea. Silt begins to build up around everything that's been pushed in the sea. 250 years after Nebuchadnezzar, along comes Alexander the Great. The city of Tyre has built back up. Alexander the Great attacks the city of Tyre, brand new stones, brand new buildings, and he rolls over Tyre and he destroys the city again. And this time, he doesn't just push everything out into the sea, he actually pushes it into one long little road across a half a mile, and he builds a causeway with the building's stones over to New Tyre. And he builds it right up to the main gate where he can roll his battering ram in and go right through the gate. And Alexander the Great destroys New Tyre 250 years after Nebuchadnezzar. Just telling you the story. Okay? Both New Tyre and Old Tyre will rise. If you go to Tyre today, you really cannot tell the difference between New Tyre and Old Tyre, because all that debris that was put into the sea by Nebuchadnezzar and by Alexander the Great has now been silted in, and you can drive roads. There are roads and there are houses and everything built on it because it's now built up. As the Mediterranean Sea swirls around, and the way it does, it just brought dirt in and filled in. So now Old Tyre and New Tyre are filled in together. That's your history. So here, Nebuchadnezzar, with all that as your background, now I'll just stop a few times as we're reading the scripture. Because Tyre has said, aha, aha, she's laid waste, now it has opened up to me. Tyre said, it's open for me. I've got all the trade happening. So here's the destruction of Tyre. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre. And I will bring up many nations against you. As the sea brings up its water, they will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape her debris from her and make her a bare rock. In other words, it's just going to get scraped out and go right into the sea. Lord's rolling across it, but the Lord's not doing it. He's sending Nebuchadnezzar to do it. Just roll it across, and all that's going to be left of old Tyre is basically, it's a rocky place anyway. In fact, the word Tyre means rock, and it's just going to be a place out there where the only thing it's going to be good for, and I'll go ahead and tell you this, is for the sailors to bring their nets in and to dry them in the night, because you can't keep nets. In those days, they didn't have the same material to make nets out of that we have today. And so they had to dry them every night. And of course, when they're out also, they're having to sew up and mend the nets. So they would take and they would just strew them all out over the old city of Tyre where it was out on the rocks. And that's where they would dry and mend their nets overnight. So it goes on and says this. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. You think I make this stuff up? It's right there. For I have spoken, declares the Lord, and she will become spoils for the nations. Who are the nations it's talking about? Nebuchadnezzar has all these nations that are part of it. You've got Iran. You've got this old Assyrian empire with all of its nations. You've got Iraq. You've got Dedan. You've got the Arabian area. You've got all these different areas, all these different armies. And then every place he has conquered, including the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites that he's conquered, they've all joined forces to come against Tyre. Nebuchadnezzar was smart. He gathered soldiers and brought them into his army from everywhere he captured. Made them feel like people of worth and took care of them. Only if you rebelled did you die. If you would join him, good. And God's sending him to do that. God has anointed him for that purpose. Now, it says also the daughters who are on the mainland will be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. Okay. Now, if you look in your commentaries, as I have to be able to prepare to come teach you, many of the commentaries say these daughters were actually cities and villages that were like suburbs around the city of Tyre. And it is true. Sidon is less than 20 miles away. Biblios, which is, by the way, which was mainly a library town, a book storage town, from which we get the word biblio or Bible comes from. We've got many other little towns that are around that were really suburbs, and these people would come into Tyre for their jobs in this marketplace, because this is a huge marketplace. Stuff's coming in, stuff's going out, orders have to be filled, ships have to be unloaded. It's just, I mean, it's like being down at a dock somewhere, but stuff's going all over this town. If we translate this, the word daughters, to mean the suburbs or living areas around Tyre, then we have abandoned, and those same commentators abandon it also. We have abandoned how we've used the word sons and daughters throughout the first part of Ecclesiastes. Throughout the first part of Ecclesiastes, sons and daughters means the people that are living in that town. It doesn't mean a suburb or a community of people. It means the inhabitants of the town. So here, with the daughters of Tyre, I believe this is talking about the women in the town. Now, this is a hard thing to understand in our mindset today because of the way we live in war around the world today. But in the past history, especially ancient history, women were basically protected from wars. Even when soldiers came in to attack a city, they would kill the husbands, they'd kill the sons, but they would not kill the women or the girls. Women were protected. It was just the unspoken nature of war. Do war crimes and study war and all this type of stuff. That women just were not killed. Now, women, being the nature that women are, of which many of y'all are women in here, God made you in an interesting way. Even though you would not have fear for your life, you would have fear for your husband and your boys' lives. And so when an army is going to attack and you know they're going to attack, yes, the women are just as fearful, and I would even say more fearful than the males because of what they're afraid is fixing to happen to their family. The women could almost always be assured that their life would be saved, but that did not assure that they would have a decent life after they were taken. They might be put in as slaves. They might be put into some degraded lifestyle, or they might be put into a very wonderful lifestyle. You just never know, and they never knew what the attackers would do with them. Well, if you remember down in Jerusalem, the Lord has ordered that all the sons and all the daughters who are inside Jerusalem, whenever the pot begins to boil, will die. Same thing is happening here in Tyre. The Lord is saying, you daughters, the women and girls of Tyre who are there are not going to survive. You too are going to die. That's what he's saying there. So here comes the destroyer. Who's going to do this destruction? We have no doubt. We know who it is. Here's the destroyer. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north. It means he's going to attack. He's going to come around. He's going to come in from the north to attack Tyre. From the north, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. No doubt who's coming. No doubt. All these nations and all these countries and all these cities who've been thumbing their nose at God, it's time for God to pay them back and to bring them punishment, and he's bringing it to Tyre. And Nebuchadnezzar is the one that is coming. And what will Nebuchadnezzar do? It says he will slay your daughters on the mainland with a sword, and he will make the siege wall against you, cast up a ramp against you, and raise up a large shield against you. The blow of his battering ram will be directed against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the multitude of his horses, it's a big army, the dust raised by them will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the cavalry and wagons and chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city that is breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people with a sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. Also, they will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise. Break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses, and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. So I will silence the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harp will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock. You will be a place for the spreading of nets. You will be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Lord. Now, in other words, the Tyre that is there right now is fixing to be destroyed. And what is going on in Tyre right now is fixing to be destroyed. And when it's destroyed, it's all going to be pushed out into the sea. Bodies, debris, everything out into the sea. It's going to be wiped clean. History tells us that happened. Years after this happens, Tyre is going to be rebuilt and be built back up so that 250 years later, Alexander the Great can come and do it again. They had not learned their lesson. So here's the warning to Tyre. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, shall not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan and when the slaughtered occurs in your midst? As Nebuchadnezzar comes in, the music in the music halls, the music in the houses, the singing of the songs of the children and all that comes to an end. And you're going to hear all those who are on the coastlands. That means everybody around Tyre is going to begin to groan because they have heard of the slaughter that has happened in the city of Tyre. The rulers of the sea. Then all the princesses, that's the kings of the sea. In other words, all the kings of all the countries. All, and there's bukus of them all the way around the Mediterranean Sea. What are they going to do? It says they will go down from their thrones. They will remove their robes. They will strip their embroidery garments. Let's strip those off. They will clothe themselves with trembling, and they will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be appalled at you. They're going to go into mourning. Why? Here's the reason. Every king out here is responsible for the trade and the economic benefit of his town and his country. And they have made arrangements and agreements in their economic dealings to do something with the city of Tyre, to ship goods, be it pottery, be it jewels, be it gold, be it silver, be it whatever it is, to Tyre, to be sold from there, and money or some sort of bartering exchange to happen to provide for the people. And here's what has happened now. Think of it this way. Think of it as the city of Tyre was a barge, a floating department store with and hardware store with everything you need. And so you would come in with a shovel and you would trade it for a bag of rice that you built. You made the shovel, but you traded. And so this bartering is going on. It's nothing more than just commerce is happening. And Tyre is destroyed. The kings around this Mediterranean Sea are now looking and they're saying, okay, the profits that we use to make product, to send to market, because that's what Tyre was. Those profits that we spent to build things are gone. The product is gone that's at market. The profits that we were expecting to come so we could do the whole cycle over again is gone. What are we going to do? The whole economic welfare of every country around the Mediterranean Sea depended on that town right there. And Nebuchadnezzar is about to destroy it. You would cry too. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because back in the 90s, those of us who had our retirement funds, we saw them drop 45%, if you remember. 45% of our retirement funds. You were counting on. And I will tell you this, today, because of the people who did not trust our markets because they lost 45%, in their 80s and their 90s are still standing at our mega box department stores working because their money would not make it through retirement, and you see them every day, still today, because they did not ever trust the market again. Never. And that's their story. And they'll tell you that if you ask them. They had their money in the bank, and they thought they were going to be able to retire early, and the market changed everything. Same thing happens to these rulers and to the countries of these rulers in just a few days. Here's the lamentation. He says, they will take up a lamentation over you and say to you, how you have perished, O inhabited one, from the seas, O renowned city, which was mighty on the sea, she and her inhabitants, who imposed her terror on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands will tremble on the days of your fall. Yes, the coastlands, which are by the sea, will be terrified at your passing. Yeah, all those kings are beyond imagination of how desperate they are, and they're terrified for their for what's going to happen. And their people are terrified. How are they going to survive? How are they going to pick up? How are they going to go on? The destruction of the city. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city like the cities which are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you and the great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth like the ancient waste places, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. But I will set glory in the land of the living. I will bring terror on you, and you will be no more. Though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. Here's the problem with a rich and wealthy storehouse city. They're also ungodly. And God has had it with the city of Tyre. He's going to push that stuff and debris into the ocean, and he's going to send all those inhabitants into the pit. It's interesting because the Bible Knowledge Dictionary, which is actual commentary, which is from Dallas Theological Seminary, says this, and I like it. He says, Ezekiel then changed the imagery slightly. Instead of descending into the ocean depths, Tyre would go down to the pit, a figurative way of expressing death. Pit is a synonymous with Sheol and the grave, or the grave. In Old Testament times, death was a fearful event. Though the saints had some idea of resurrection, most viewed the grave as a place of no return. Ezekiel expressed this thought about Tyre. She would enter the place of the departed dead and never be able to return to the land of the living. People would long for her, but she would never again be found. The statement is true. Dallas Theological professors who wrote this have it right. All those who are living in Tyre at this time are going to die, and they are ungodly folks, and they're going to the pit and to the grave. They are. They're not just going out into the ocean. That's where their bodies are going to land up, but their souls are going to land up in a place of torment. Now, later on, another group of people are going to come along, and they're going to rebuild Tyre. Some more Phoenicians. They're going to rebuild it, but not this group of people. Not any of this group of people. Not anyone who was part of Tyre at this point in time will have any part in rebuilding the city. That's where the glory of the living is going to come about. And if you remember, by the time of the days of Jesus, the Lord Jesus is going to go off to this area. And a woman's going to come and say, Master, my daughter is sick. Will you heal her? Jesus says, because it's the first time he's out of the country. I mean, it's the second time he's out of the country. First time he's out of the country was when he was 8 days old. He went down to Egypt. He got out of the country. Second time is when he leaves Capernaum and he goes up to Tyre and Sidon, which is outside of the promised land. He left the country, his home country, twice. Well, as we start chapter 27, we're going to move real fast on this because the Lord's going to tell us about, he wants everybody around the coastlands to sing this dirge song. And he says, you need to do a lamentation. And a lamentation is nothing more than a dirge that you sing on the way to the grave. That's what it is. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre and say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance of the sea. That's where the word is actually entrances of the sea. Merchant of the peoples to many coastlands. They're your local big department store. Thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. You have said, we've got it. How you doing? Well, they're wealthy. because everything they sell, they get money off of, and only the best of the best is the best for is what Tyre's going to have. He says this. He says, your borders are in the heart of the sea, and your builders have perfected your beauty. The border is in the heart of the sea, because if you come from here and head this way, that's the middle of the place where you can land, and you can do your trade from there, and from there you can go down this way. That's the heart. That's the heart of all the commerce right there in the middle of the sea, right there on the border of the edge of the sea, I should say, like the scripture says it, to all the commerce around, and even as it soaks into the rest of the land area, this is where it all comes. This is where it all goes. He says, you have your builders have perfected your beauty. They've done the best of the best. Now, as you're looking at your notes, what I'm fixing to bring to you is in sections. Actually, for the commentary, it's broken down into verses. But I did not want to hand you a lesson that was 23 pages long. So I put all your stuff into one chunk. So you might want to look at the screens and read along with us to see what's going on here. So pick up here. It says this. He says, these are the builders, and they've built her in perfection. And because Tyre was a seagoing ship sailing hub, the Lord pictures the building of Tyre as if Tyre was a ship. And that's the metaphor he is using here. He says, they have made your planks of fir trees from Sinar. Okay, that means they've made the outside, the hull of your ship from fir. We call it pine. And we know a Sinir is, that's the better word. Sinir in the New Testament is Mount Hermon. Yes, when Jesus went up on top of Mount Hermon, he went into the pine trees to go up to Mount Hermon. And that's where the wood came from for the building, the pine wood that came from for the building of Tyre. They have taken the cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of course, Tyre is right there by the cedars of Lebanon. They're everywhere. They're huge. They're big. Well, not for long, because when Nebuchadnezzar comes through, he's going to cut all but three of them down and ship them back home to do building projects in Babylon. So Lebanon is fixing to not have any cedars left. It's good that they got the mast built. They used some of the cedars of Lebanon to build the structures that go up, and metaphorically, the mast of the cities would out of the cedars of Lebanon when those cedars were still there. Of oaks of Basham, they have made your oars. Well, Basham is right here to this side of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where that arrow is pointing there on the map. They are known for their great oaks, and they're also known for their cows, the wonderful milk from the cows that graze on that land out there around the oaks of Basham. Goes on to say, he says, with ivory they have inlaid your decks of boxwood. In other words, they've gotten ivory and they've gotten boxwood from the coastlands of where? Cyprus. You see the word Cyprus? Cyprus is that island that is out in the Mediterranean Sea that looks like someone pointing a finger right up into the corner right there. That's Cyprus. Always remember, that's what the look of Cyprus is, of which they've inlaid that. They've gotten boxwood from there, and they've inlaid it with ivory from Cyprus. Your sail was as a fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became your distinguishing mark. I got news for you. It's the distinguishing mark of Egypt today. Some of y'all are proud that you sleep on 300 count, 500 count, 600 count, or 1,000 count of Egyptian cotton. That's what he's talking about. Linen was made from cotton back in those days, and it was a mark of Egypt then, and it is a mark of Egypt today. In fact, if you're sleeping on a pillow or whatever it is, according to the advertisements, they've gotten that cotton from Giza. Egyptian cotton, the mark, there it is. Your awnings, and that's the awnings that's what they put across the ship. They would like little tents, and you've seen them on these ancient ships where the sailors could get in from sun and weather and rain and whatever. Your awnings, your awning was blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. Elisha is the old name for that water area between Macedonia, Greece, and Asia Minor. And all along the coastland there is where they would bring out the shellfish to make the blue and the purple dye. It was extremely expensive. In fact, it was some of the most expensive dyes that could be made. And they came from that area. And that what he's telling us is, hey, from the coast of Italy, from the east coast of Italy and from the west coast of Greece and Asia, that's where the stuff, this blue and purple dye, is coming from. Now he moves from the people who are built it, he moves to the workers. And he says the inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. And so the ship had 20 rowers, 10 on one side and 10 on the other. And you've seen those in those old boats. And they 20 miles north of Sidon, of Tyre, Sidon, and just about 4 miles off the coast of Sidon is a little rock island called Arvad. And they were the rowers. Why? That to go to work, they just had to get up and go down about 15, 20 miles, and they'd go to work. And they'd go out on the ships, and they'd come back in. Says, your wise men, O Tyre, were aboard. They were your pilots. So the men from Tyre were the ones who knew the seas, and on every ship that sailed the Mediterranean was a Tyrian man who was guiding those ships. The elders of Gebal and her wise men were with you repairing your seams. All the ships of all the sea and their sailors were with you in order to deal in your merchandise. Gebal, that arrow points just south of Tyre, to Gebal. The people of Gebal were master woodworkers who actually could repair the ships that had been built someplace else. The ships actually had been built over here in Tarshish, but these people from Gebal could fix those ships. And if you don't know anything about wooden ships, whenever you put a wooden ship together, the planks on the outside of the hull have to be tight enough. They don't have to be watertight, but they have to be tight enough that whenever the water hits it, those boards are going to swell. And as they swell with the water on the outside, they close up and become watertight. But like your floors in your dining room that got hit with Harvey water that were tight to begin with, when you add water to them, what do? They buckle and they form a bigger hole. So the craftsmen had to know what they were doing, and the men from Gebal knew exactly what they were doing. It says Persia and Lud and Put were in your army. They were the warriors, your men of war. They hung shields and helmets. They hung shields and helmet in you, and they set forth your splendor. In other words, we have to have a hired security guard team. We have to have protection. We've got all this merchandise. We've got merchandise on ships. We've got merchandise in the city. It's got to be protected. And where is it coming from? Well, first of all, some of those warriors, some of those policemen came from Persia, which is Iran. Many of y'all know Jolly Borden, who's in the church. When you ask her where she's from, she says, I'm Persian. She's from Iran, and that is Persia. Persian. It uses the word also here, it uses the word Lud. That's an interesting term because that's a city. That city is up actually here in the area of Cilicia, and we know Lud by another name. The name is Lydia, and that is a city that Paul formed one of his churches. If you remember, there was Derbe, and there was Lydia, and there was one more city. And Paul is stationed there because they have incredible medical doctors. And Paul was blind, and he was trying to see if there's any salves or anything that he could get that would help him with his blindness. Going on, besides that, is Put. Put is down here on the west side of Egypt. We know it as Libya today. We know it. If you remember, this is where Gaddafi was from. So those of us who've lived long enough to know about Gaddafi and the Ronald Reagan years and all that, he's from Put or from Libya. He says, then the sons of Arvad. Now, we already know about that because that's the little rock island that's just off of Sidon. And your army were on the walls and all around. So there was warriors not only not only there for the city from Arvad, but there's also rowers, if you remember from the past. And it says, and the Gammadans were in your towers, and they hung their shields on their walls all around, and they were perfect in all their your beauty. Now, if you remember, see that right there? I said Gammadan. We don't know where that is. No map out there. We've not found anything in archaeology that tells us, so we don't know. Now, as far as the association of Tyre, with Tyre's, the associates. He says, Tarshish was your customer because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth. With silver, iron, tin, and lead, they paid for your wares. In other words, there's a barter system going on. Where is Tarshish? It's a port right over here in Spain. Javan, Tubal, Meshach, they were your traders. With the lives of men, that's slaves, and vessels of bronze, they paid for your merchandise. Javan, Meshach, Tubal, and let's don't forget Beth Togamar, that's in the next verse. Those from Beth Togamar gave horses and war horses and mules for your wares. In other words, all this trade is going, here's what we have and here's what we can buy, what we need from out of your warehouses. The sons of the Dan were your traders. Many coastlands were your market. Ivory tusk and ebony they brought as your payment. So ivory tusk and ebony came over here from Dedan. This is the Persian Gulf. Here's the Dan that is set up here. By the way, this is the descendant. This is the descendant of one of Abraham's sons, right here, Dedan, and the Arab tribes that built up there. Aram, we know that as Syria. Aram was your customer because of the abundance of your goods. They paid for your wares with emeralds, with purple, with embroidered work, with fine linen, with coral, and with rubies. Aram or Assyria, is right here. Lebanon is just off to the edge of it. It's not part of it, but it borders right up next to it. Judah, the southern kingdom, and the land of Israel, they were your traders. What did the southern kingdom have? Well, with wheat of Minnith, cakes, honey, oil, and balm, they paid for your merchandise. You see, money's not changing hands very much. It's mostly goods changing. There's a barter system going on. Damascus was your customer because of the abundance of your goods, because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth, because of the wine of Helbon and white wool. Damascus is a drinking town. Because of the wine, that's what they wanted. So the Tyre had wine. They wanted that wine. They also wanted the white wool that would come into there. They traded for it. Vedan and Javan, both of those are right here in this area, right there off of Asia Minor, southern part. Paid for your wares from Uzal. Wrought iron, cassia, and sweet cane were among your merchants. Uzal, that is modern-day Yemen. And so they wanted that wrought iron that came from Yemen. They wanted the cassia, which was a mixture they put into oil for perfumes and stuff. They wanted the sweet cane. Sugar cane. They wanted the sugar. Most countries didn't have sugar, so they wanted the sweet cane. The Dan traded with you in saddle cloth for riding. So the Dan is in picture again. They also did the saddle cloth. Arabia, that's Saudi Arabia, and all the princes of Kedar. Kedar was just north of Saudi Arabia. They're actually the ones that had the black goats. And they took the goat hair and made it into tents. They would actually weave the goat hair and make it into fabric for tents. And it says, and they were your customers for lambs, rams, and goats. For they were your customers. The traders of Seba and Rama, they traded with you. They paid for your wares with the best of all kinds of spices and with all kinds of precious stones and gold. Finally, silver and gold and precious stones, rubies and diamonds and that type of stuff are interjected here. And they come from down here in Sheba, and just below it is Rama. This is south of where the Israelites were camped at Mount Sinai, about right there, just south of that. This is Midianite land, but this is Sheba and Rama. Haran, Cana, Eden, the traders of Sheba, Asher, Chamid traded with you. They traded with you in choice garments, in clothes of blue and embroidered work, and in carpets of many colors and tightly wound cords, which were among your merchandise. So inside this circle here in the Mesopotamian area, most of the, this is Asher area. This is area where Haran is. Haran is where Abraham was from before he went into the promised land. These are Mesopotamian areas for the most part that are, except for Sheba, because Sheba's down here, they still traded because they needed the cord work. They needed the ropes. They needed things that were there in the storehouse in inside of Tyre. Now the carriers are the merchandise. It says the ships of Tarshish, that means they were the ships that were built in Tarshish, were the carriers of your merchandise. And you were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the sea. Your roars have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you in the heart of the sea. And that east wind is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, who's coming to destroy them. He's from the east. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors, and your pilots, your repairers of seams, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, all with all your company that is in your midst, will fall into the heart of the sea on the day of your overthrow. Look at this map. We've covered almost everything on this map. I think we've covered every name. Except for Rhodes. Rhodes also was part of it. Tyre is doing business with the known world. Everybody, all the way from Iran, through Iraq, through Afghanistan, it is affecting all the known world at this time. And they have men and they have merchandise from all the known world. And Nebuchadnezzar is about to cast it into the sea. And there will be heartache through all the known world, the death of Tyre. At the sound of the cry of your pilots, who were from Tyre, the pasture lands will shake, and all who handle the oars from Arvad and from Sidon, the sailors and all their pilots of the sea will come down from their ships, and they will stand on the land, and they will make their voice heard over you, and they will cry bitterly, and they will cast dust on their head, and they will wallow in the ashes. And also they will make themselves bald for you. And back in those days when they mourned, they would shave their heads in part of the funeral process. And gird themselves with sackcloth, and they will weep for you in bitterness of soul with bitter mourning. Moreover, in their wailing, they will take up a lamentation for you and lament over you who is like Tyre, like her who is silent in the midst of the sea. When your waves went out from the seas, you satisfied many people. With abundance of your wealth and with your merchandise, you enriched the kings of the earth. There it is. Oh, you were such a great city, but you've died. How could you die on us? See the way you've left us. And all that we're going to have is a memory of you. Of the good days that have gone past when we were expecting. And here comes the memory. Now that you are broken by the sea in the depths of the water, your merchants and all your company have fallen into the midst of you. All the inhabitants of the coastland are appalled at you, and their kings are horribly afraid, and they are troubled in countenance. And the merchants among the people hiss at you, and you have become terrified, and you will cease to be forever. No wonder everyone from every area on this map, they are devastated. They are devastated by this destruction of Tyre. Folks, we've all been devastated. It doesn't take many of us to have lived, we've lived all pretty much lived in here long enough to remember those 100-year-old companies that we never thought would close their doors. Never thought would close their doors. Never thought H&H Green would stop to be, or Woolworth, or Kodak. Kodak! What happened to Kodak? We can just go down the list of E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. You remember those days? These 100-year-old companies that are just too powerful and too big to close their doors. And then we've got those shorter-term companies. And we all know about dry goods stores and lumber yards that were just powerhouses for hundreds of years. Cameron Lumber Works, not Cameron Iron Works, but Cameron Lumber Works just controlled the market during the 20s, 30s, and 40s for all of lumber, basically throughout the whole south part of the United States. What happened to them? Where are they? Oh, they're still doing lumber, but they're only doing wholesale, not the company they were. I have a set of stock certificates that came from a bank in Oklahoma City, a bank corporation in Oklahoma City, that at the time in the 1950s, whenever they were purchased for over $500. That was a lot of money in the 1950s. And before grandmother, who owned them, died in 1961, that company had gone belly up. It had been a bank in Oklahoma area since almost the beginning of the taking of the territory and becoming a state. Who would have thought that you invested into something that has been around forever and now it is no more? The problem is who lost whenever those companies went down? Who lost? And I'm going to tell you who lost. It's the stockholders who lost. Those who had trusted, who'd put their retirement funds, who hope for the future. You put your stock in a money in a stock, and you hope for the future. And whenever that company bellies up, oh, it's so amazing how sometimes, in most times, the management of the company already knows there's trouble. So moving of money has already begun. We have a member of this church, no longer with us. He has died and passed on. He did woodworking. He did cabinets for a big old company downtown by the name of Enron. He had just delivered on one day and received a check for $355,000 for the delivery and installation of cabinets and desks and stuff specifically for custom made for the building for Enron. And that afternoon, the word came that the doors were shut on Enron. He rushed down to the bank to try to cash the check, but the check was no good. He called me. I went to his office over the other side of Crenshaw over there, and he was weeping. And I said, oh, I am so sorry. I said, thank goodness it was only $350,000, $5,000. He says, Jim, I want to show you something. And we walked out of his door, and sitting on the dock was over another $1 million worth of goods to be delivered to that same entity in the next week and installed. He says, I have not only lost my profit, I have lost my investment cost in this material, which was very high end. And now I sit here with material that is all custom made, product that is custom made that will not fit anyone else and is way too high end for anyone else to build. And he had that, and his company went bankrupt also. Stockholders lose. Stockholders lose. When you think that it's a company too big to not crater. Tire was that same company. That same company. Next week we'll talk about Lucifer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. In your name, amen and amen.